Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
I'm so excited about the Truck or Treat coming up October the 31st here at First Wesleyan Church. We're doing something different this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing something that we've never done before. Seems like I'm forgetting something. But anyway, we want everybody to come on October 31st. I forgot you were in there.
You locked me up in here.
I forgot you were in there.
I was decorating.
You're decorating?
I'm decorating for the Truck or Treat. What's your theme going to be?
I'm going to do a hog theme.
A hog theme?
Yeah. I'm going to call my hogs. I'm going to have a hog theme with mine. What's this?
This is the camouflage.
That reminds me of the Green Acres back home.
Green Acres?
Yeah. First, Wesleyan is the place to be.
Truck or treat is the life for me.
Cars spreading out far and wide.
If you're coming, make sure you can drive.
And the parking lot is where we'll be.
Games inflatable for miles.
Fun galore.
More candy than a candy store.
Wait a minute. Before you decide to tune out of this particular podcast, you need to hear me out. You're probably saying, what was that? Yes, you are tuned to the 20 Minute Runner, but let me explain that opening clip. Our church is going to be having a Truck or Treat block party October 31st from 5:30 to 7, and I realize none of you are in the area probably to come, although there might be a few listeners that are nearby. But the staff decided to do a video promotion of that, and whenever they did, the person that you hear in the video with me, actually you're only hearing the audio, of course, you just heard the audio, her name is Sherry Jennings, and she's the children's director here. She's originally from West Virginia, and she did put on the dog, so to speak, with her accent during that video, but they were in a meeting, I was not there, and they said, well, we need somebody on staff who naturally is able to carry out the other part of that, and everybody immediately said, we got to get Roland to do it. So I don't know what that says about me, but I do know that what it says about my ability to act, I'm not sure what it says about that either. But anyway, we put the video together, we showed it, and I've had a lot of comments from people that have seen it. It was also posted at Facebook. I have a link for that, by the way, at Facebook, and you can go to the homepage, the blog, at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. And there is a link in the show notes, this particular post for this episode, for the full video. And that audio was extracted from a portion of the video. But anyway, it's there. After it was over, I had people to say things like, we did not know you could impersonate a pig. Well, yes, that is me doing the pig impersonation, and you can see that as well, which is might be more than you want to see. I don't know. But people said, wow, you're a good actor, tongue in cheek. And I said, well, you know, the problem is I was not acting. That's just me. And growing up in southeastern North Carolina, I can put on the dog as well. But if you click the link, not the picture, on the blog, you will be able to go to the Facebook page. And if you're on Facebook, just sign into your account and you can see the full video there. And by the way, I would appreciate you sending that around. We want to see how far it might go. But you have to have a Facebook account to view the video. And the video is a bit longer than the opening audio clip. And we really, really enjoyed doing that. But I thought I would share that. I'm feeling a little bit lighthearted today, and so I thought that would be a good way to begin this program. Welcome to episode 69 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. We are going to get to all things running here in just a little bit. Excuse me, I think I'm getting a call back from Edgar, the talent agent who saw the video on Facebook and wanted to offer me his advice about my acting career. Hold on just a minute while I take this call. Okay, I've got some bad news from Edgar. He seems to think that my acting career is not going to make it. Not only is my acting career just one big explosion, but he also put it another way. All right, thank you for joining me for this episode of the 20 Minute Runner. We are going to move on away from the trunk or treat. I did plan to go running this morning and was going to record for this episode. But I woke up at 5:15 and there was a substantial amount of lightning. We ended up getting about 0.9 inch of rain through the morning hour, thunder and all that, so I was not able to get out and run. But I did want to go ahead and record some today, and none of it will be running. I don't think I've ever done an episode where none of it was running, but at least today we're going to be doing that, so I hope that you we'll enjoy that just the same, because I do have just a few things that I'd like to share with you today. I did order some shoes, the 769s New Balance. I've really enjoyed those. As you may know, I have a pair of 768s, which are approaching 400 miles, and I've got a pair of 769s. I've also got a pair of Nike Air Pegasus, which are approaching 400 miles, and then I've got the Pro Guide 2's Sauconys, which have substantially less mileage, and as well as the new pair of 769s that I've been wearing most recently. And so as the 768s are phasing out, I decided to order some shoes, and I've ordered online, I think, the last three pair of shoes that I've had, because I do know my size, and I also know the details about what I'm ordering as far as the particular shoe model, that type of thing. And so I went online and looked around, and of all places, I found 769s for sale at Amazon after looking at a lot of places. And by the time I was able to get the shipping, and they even charged tax, I think I've never had that done, but they ended up costing me around $73, and they retail for $100, so I feel like I got a good deal on that. The shoes came. I actually ended up ordering them from Foot Locker. I meant to get a different color. The ones that I've been wearing are gold or yellow, and when I ordered, I got a little mixed up in my mind about what color they actually were, so I ended up ordering the same color by mistake. But what I'll probably do is put a different color shoelace in those when I begin wearing them, and from there, I will be able to notate in the blog and also on the Buckeye account, I'll be able to notate that the new 769s actually, they'll be like 769 red or something, depending on what color shoelaces I choose. But the reason that I did not go with the 760s, I believe that that's the one that replaced the 769, is because for less money, about $26-$27, I was able to get the 769s, and I can always move up to the 760s when I can't get the 769s. And the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's where I'll differentiate those two. Even though the shoes are the same, I think I can get by with that. Now, someone has mentioned that you need to rotate your shoes, which I do. Only running 3 days a week, I have four pair of shoes. And so I usually do two if I'm training for a half or a marathon or whatever. I'm usually running a 7, an 8, and then a long run, depending on what the distance is I'm training for. For the half, I plan to build up to a 15-mile long run, including a 14 and a 13 and a 12, building up to that in the next few weeks. And also for the marathon, my long run was 21 miles, and I hope to do that again, maybe go up to 22 here in just a few months as we train for the marathon in March. But if I only have three pair of shoes, then as I rotate those, wear one day and then wear one the next run and the next run, basically the long run shoes are always going to fall on the same pair, and the others will fall on the same pair for those respective runs as well. So I've managed over time to work up four pair. And so what that means, of course, is that every few weeks, the same pair will be used for the long run and the same pair will be used for the other two runs. But I'm not wearing the same pair of shoes for the same long run or whatever every week. It spaces that out. But I do believe in rotating shoes. If you can build up to three or four pair, that's initially going to cost you a little bit. But after you get that going, just replacing those as each pair gets to the point where you can't use them, then you can move up and get another pair of shoes. And so I'm keeping four in the rotation, and that seems to be working well. I've read, and maybe you have too, and heard this, that around 400 miles is probably the max that you should be keeping a pair of shoes. But Danny Dreyer, who wrote Chi Running, and that's a great book, by the way. There are links to it in some of the past show notes, past posts for the episodes. But Danny Dreyer, he says that you can actually, in his book, you can get 500 miles from a pair of shoes rather than four, as your form begins to be corrected using the Qi running method. And then he goes on to say not only that, but you can actually go as far as 750 miles on one pair of shoes. Now, that's whenever you've got the Qi method down, your form is good, you're doing well with that, you're not having any issues. Now, for me, 750 miles, personally, that sounds pretty crazy. But I am beginning to think that I might try to get 500 out of some of these shoes. So that means the 769s I just ordered, I probably won't need those for quite a few more weeks, but I'll have them on hand. He also goes on to say that with Qi running, you can get by with minimalist shoes. He's not recommending the Five Fingers per se, although I don't know if those were available whenever he wrote the book a couple of years ago. They may have been, but he does recommend getting by with racing flats or shoes that have minimum support. One of the positive things about Qi running, he says, is that you really don't have to spend a lot of money on extravagant motion control shoes with a lot of bells and whistles, that you can get by on shoes that have less support and therefore are not as costly. And if you've been listening much to any other podcasts or been reading in Runner's World or other running websites, you may also be aware that minimalist running pertaining to footwear is really the rage right now. I think with correct form, we can run with less support. I believe that I can. And there's some who are even saying things like, whenever the heels are so built up, it actually puts more stress on your Achilles, much like high heels would do in your calf, and that may be detrimental. I'm not wearing any shoes at this point that have low heels, as the shoes I described to you are all basically light stability, and I seem to work well with those. Would I switch to racing flats to train in? I don't know. Will I eventually try a cheaper shoe, as far as a good brand name, but a cheaper shoe with less support in it, other than the midfoot especially? I need support there for the Qi running where you land flat-footed. Will I switch to something that has less bells and whistles? I probably will, but right now I'm sticking with what I've got because it's working. But he says with Qi running, you can save a substantial amount of money on your running shoes, both in the sense of more miles per pair and also in the sense of the shoes being cheaper because, again, they do not require the bells and whistles that a lot of shoes have. So I may try with that. Or I may try that in the months ahead. We'll just have to wait and see. I did want to give you an update on how things have been going. This past week, I have officially begun training for the Victory Junction Half Marathon, which will be held on December the 12th in Randleman, North Carolina. Obviously, having only run one marathon, the Cannonball Half, which is actually going to be held this coming Saturday, the 16th of October in Greensboro. I ran that last year and ran 142.29. This year, I hope to break 140 for the half at the Victory Junction race. Can I do that? I don't know. I believe with proper training, I can, and let me tell you why. This past week, as I've been working on Qi running now for 3 to 4 months, I probably had the best week that I've ever had since I've been running these last 2 years when I started back again. I ended up running just shy of 26 miles. 10 miles was the long run, and possibly the best run that I had in years was Sunday evening, this past Sunday. By the way, today is the 14th of October, Thursday, so this would have been the week running Monday through Sunday, October 4 through 10. Well, on the 10th, ran the long run on Friday, 10-miler, had a couple of miles under 9 minutes, and then on Sunday the 10th, that evening, getting toward dark, I ran 8.2, and 4 of those miles were under 9 minutes, and I felt great. Also, the fastest time that I actually hit on that run was 4:39, which for me is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I'm sure that was not over, you know, 2 or 3, 4 seconds, but I did hit that, and I've never hit that to my knowledge since I've been running again, and I felt absolutely great. My knee, left knee, is not bothering me. My right knee, not bothering me. My hips are an absolute non-issue, and I felt great. And as we now have about 9 weeks until the half, I'm looking forward to getting the training in. What I'm going to be doing each week is running 7 or 8, just to get out and run fairly easy, and then run the 8-mile run each week with tempo, building up to tempo. On Sunday night, the tempo was 5 minutes of total time running at about 10K speed, and I felt very, very good. This week, I'll build that up to 10 minutes, and by the time the half approaches, before we begin the taper, I should be up to 40 or 45 minutes of tempo running. So that's the plan on the second run of the week. The 7 on the first run of the week, the 8 with tempo the second, and then the long run building up to 15. What I'm doing with that is working from 10 this past Friday, and then 11 and 12, and then drop back, and then do 13, 14, 15, and drop back as I taper for the half marathon. So I think the long run, along with the tempo and the Qi running, which is keeping my legs absolutely healthy at this point, I feel very, very good about it. But anyway, we will let you know how that goes. Another point that I want to bring up about the training is I'm going to be running hills, and I did run hills one set. Basically, I would say the hill is maybe a minute with a fairly decent grade, and I'm doing what Jeff Smith from the running podcast in Brisbane, Australia, what Coach Jeff has recommended for the hill work. After I've warmed up, and actually, at almost the very end of the long run, and I'm going to continue to do this even when I get up to like 15 miles, is you run a quarter way up the hill, good strong pace, jog back down, same thing halfway up, jog back down, three quarters up, back down, and then run the full hill and back down. And I'm planning to work on 3 sets of hills before we begin the taper. I was thinking I was going to use the same heel toward the end of the long run, but at this point there are actually 2 or 3 places that I can do that, which would be within 5 minutes of each other. So I may run a set of heels, and as I jog back down from the very top, continue the run, and then when I get the next heel, repeat the process, jog back down, run to the next hill, and repeat the process. That would be the three hills. So they're actually three different hills, three different lengths, three different grades. Now, how will that work? I don't know. I think it's going to help me. Although in chi running, leg strength is not critical, but certainly that does help your endurance and your ability to run hills. And I don't know yet what the course is like over in Randleman, but I'm sure that it'll have some hills. I really need to go online and find out about that so that I can be sure to be familiar with that course. That means my long week, though, I should hit 31 to 32 miles, but lots of quality if I can keep chi going and remain injury-free, which I believe I can do. Now, some people say, well, the three hill sessions at the end of a long run, building up to that, that sounds crazy. Well, yeah, it sounds crazy, but I am absolutely convinced that it will help me in the long run, no pun intended, to achieve what I need to achieve. And so we're looking forward to that. So that's how the training's going this week. Not run, but I will run, Lord willing, in the morning. Probably run 11 with two sets of hills. And then on Sunday, I'll run 8 or 9 with 10 minutes of tempo toward the last third of that run. And I think it's important to go toward the end because by then you're a little fatigued and you're actually simulating more closely what's going to be happening toward the end of the race. I've been reading recently, too, about different types of long runs, and I'm probably not going to incorporate them here, but I may try to do some of it in the marathon training, which will begin almost immediately after the half. We'll take 2 weeks off until the beginning of the year, and then January, February, and the first week of March. Those 9 weeks will be the real critical time for me. Now, you say, well, you really ought to train longer. That's right, but remember, we are training for the half with very specific training, and the marathon will come right after that, several weeks, and so I'll already have that base of hill work, substantial long run, not long enough, but a long run, and also the tempo, I should be able to drop back after 2 weeks off from the half and immediately get back in and maybe do 20 minutes of tempo, one set of hills, a long run of 12 or 13, and build up from there for the marathon. So I feel very good. Incidentally, if you have had experience running a half and then moved on into a marathon and piggybacked that training. I don't mean run a half and then, you know, a month later ran a marathon, but if you've had, say, 3 months between the two, how did you handle your training? When you trained for the half, if you were really gearing up for that race, and then you knew you were going to gear up for the marathon 3 or 4 months later, what kind of break did you take? How did you fall back into training after you recovered from the half? I plan after the half to take a week and run probably, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 miles those 3 days without much tempo or hill work at all, if any. And then the next week I will be back up to probably a 7, a 8, and maybe a 12 and begin running some short tempo again and a hill, beginning to build up to hill work again. But I'd be curious to know what you do if you've had that experience before. I've never run a half and a marathon this closely together because I've only done one of each. But we do hope to break 140 for the half December 12th. Again, can I do it? I believe I can. Will I do it? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But what I want to talk to you about today is the reasons that we run. And I know that we've lightly touched on this in the past, but I want to spend a little more time for a few episodes and just share with you my heart about why I run, and just take one key element each week for a few weeks and share with you for just a few minutes about why I enjoy running and what element it is that week we will be discussing and how that fits into why we run or the reasons that we run. And I'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But in keeping with the Trunk or Treat theme, we want to throw on some holiday appropriate music. And we will be back in just a few minutes. But again, I really appreciate you listening to me today, listening to this show rather, downloading, sharing it with others. It's great to have you along. And again, you are listening to episode 69 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. Welcome back. I hope that wasn't too spooky for you. I think it was pretty tame, but good music just the same. The reasons that we run, the first reason that I'll give, and I have several, but I want to just talk a few minutes about the first one that I want to mention, and these are not in any certain order. All of these are important, and all of them are worth your consideration. But if you are new to running and you're wondering, okay, I understand some of the benefits health-wise, and I'll probably address a couple of those along the way in the weeks ahead, but what beyond that does running really have to offer? Well, the first thing that I want to throw out there is the solitude. So the first reason that I run, not the primary reason necessarily, although it could be, all of these are important as I just stated, but it's the solitude away from the typical day. Now, I don't know how your days work, but for me, maybe your day is similar to this. I get up, I get shaved, showered, all that. This is on a day when maybe I'm not running. And then I eat breakfast, and then I've got to get ready to go to the office. I may need to drop the dog off at the kennel or to have him groomed. I may need to run by and do something else, meet somebody for breakfast, whatever. And then I leave there, and depending on what's going on at the office here at the church, I may have a meeting that will last the entire morning, or I may have to prepare for a meeting that I'm going to be having later in the week. I may have a counseling session that morning, or I may be preparing for a counseling session that afternoon. And so a lot of times the entire morning from the time I get to the office until lunch is pretty much full. And then at lunch, I may have time to go somewhere and really take some time, or I may simply run home, or I may need to go somewhere and eat quickly and come back, and I'm busy because I've got something weighing on me that I've got to get done that afternoon. And then that afternoon, the thing is repeated. In other words, I go through the same thing, whether I'm working with someone in a counseling session, preparing for a meeting, preparing for some type of a study, having to go to the hospital for a surgery, which a lot of mornings I get up very early and go to surgeries at Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, for instance. And so the afternoon is much of the same on a lot of days. Now, every day is not like that, but a lot of days are. And then whenever you get finished with that day, you've got to eat a bite of supper. And there may be an event or another meeting or something going on that night. And sometimes I will leave the house to come to the office or go to the hospital on the way to the office. I could leave as early as 6 o'clock and literally, depending on what day it is, and this doesn't happen most days, but it happens on some days, I may not be back home until 8:30. Now Cindy's there, her parents are there, but I may not get home until then, and I may or may not have seen her since early that morning. And even that morning, if I had to get up very early, I may not have seen her then other than just to tell her goodbye. So the day is very, very full. If you run in the evening and you have time in the evening and where you live is conducive to running in the evening, which I've done some lately on the weekends, and I have to admit I really like it. I think you can run faster in the evening for one thing. And in some ways, it's good to have the items of the day behind you so that you can run and relax, get by yourself, and I'm talking about solitude here, and just be able to clear your mind, clear your thoughts, and just be alone, get away from the phone, get away from other things that are happening. If you can do that in the evening, that's great. For me, 90% of my runs are going to be in early morning. And right now, when I leave the house at, you know, 6 o'clock at the latest most mornings, it's dark. It's quite cool this time of year. And when I step out the door, other than Tigger being there to, you know, welcome me and beg for a little bit of dry food, which I usually give her, it's pretty quiet. Maybe a mockingbird is singing. It's dark, as I said. So I go out to the end of the driveway, I hit the GPS, give it a minute to find the satellite, and begin to collect my thoughts. And then as I begin the run, always the first part of the run is a bit uncomfortable. You're still trying to get woken up, and as I begin the run, I'm a little bit stiff. I have an incline that I have to climb, a little bit of an incline. It runs for about a tenth of a mile before I get to the stop sign and things level out, and then basically it's hilly from there. We have no flat places to run here. Most of it's hills up or down. A little bit of flat place, but not much. And so as I get there and I begin running and my body gets warmer, and especially on a cool morning, I may have short sleeves on and gloves, and it just feels great. And even though it's dark, there are plenty of street lights. I feel very safe. I've got my phone with me, although I'm not making calls, but I could receive a call if necessary. But as I begin running that early in the morning, there's really, most of the time, there aren't a lot of people up. Now, by the time I get out to Hasty School Road, where I do a lot of my running, that section of it, I'm on it a couple of times there and a couple of times back, typically. Hasty School can get pretty busy even that early in the morning, whether it's a garbage truck or school bus or people going to work or coming home from work or whatever. But generally speaking, it's dark and it's relatively quiet. And I just love the solitude. I love being around people. I love spending time with people. I'm really a people person, to be quite frank. And I think that's just the way that I'm wired. But certainly I also enjoy those times when I can be alone, whether it's to read, whether it's to write, whether it's to study, whatever. But there's nothing like getting out in the morning, especially in the morning for me. Maybe for you it's the evening, but in the morning it's quieter. Again, there's not much noise. It's dark initially. And it's just me and the road. And after my body gets warm and my breathing increases a little bit and I break that first sweat and I begin to get into the groove, especially with the chi running, making sure my hips are level, my feet are landing flat, moving from the hip, feet not going out beyond the beyond my hips, but staying under or behind me, leaning forward, keeping my arms toward the back where they don't cross the front of my body, all of those things, picking my heels up, peeling my heels off of the street, so to speak, letting my toes hang so that I'm not overextending my ankles. Once you get into the groove with that, and for me, I have to get fairly warmed up. Usually I'm in 3 or 4 miles before I really begin to nail that down well. There's nothing like it. And you know the feeling. You just get out there, and all of a sudden, the issues of the day, if there are any, you're beginning to somehow or other think of solutions. Ideas come in your mind that you were not able to work through the night before, whenever you perhaps were stressed or under a lot of pressure or under timelines, things like that. And I can think, I can meditate. For me, I can pray at times, but mostly I'm just alone. And that solitude time is just so great. Because truthfully, when I get home a lot of days, I've talked to people most of the day, and the last thing that I really want to do is to sit down and rehash what I've gone through the day, although I do need to do that with my wife because I owe that to her. She needs to talk to me, even though I may have been talking a lot during the day, so I need to take time to do that. But the solitude of it, just me and my body and the earth, and putting all that stuff out of mind or allowing it to come into my mind and work through some of those issues or problems as I can, that's just a great experience, and it's one that I really look forward to. And to me, not in a spiritual sense per se, but it truly is a sacred time, and I just love it. Now, do I enjoy getting together with other people? Absolutely. As I just said, I'm a people person. Do I enjoy the racing, the camaraderie of getting together with other runners to run a race, and all of us are trying to do our best? Absolutely, I love that. But there are those times where I need to step back, and I need to just think about getting my thoughts together or just letting my mind wander, as it were, and think about my form, think about the running experience, or just not think about a lot of anything. And that's what running, one of the main things that it gives me, is solitude. Where else can I go to get away from anybody? If I'm in the car, a lot of times my mind is on where I'm heading or trying to get there on time or get back to somewhere else a certain time. Or I may have the radio on, or I may have the MP3 plugged in, be listening to a podcast or whatever. It's solitude. Now, I'm going to say something here that you may find surprising from me, and that's okay. I know that a lot of people listen to their iPod or whatever while they're running, and maybe you do, and I have done a lot of that in the past. But I cannot tell you the last time that I wore headphones running, because I have discovered that, especially with the Qi form, I would rather be in tune with my body. Danny Dreyer, he calls it body sensing, and I really believe in that concept. And if I've got people talking in my ear or I've got music playing in my ear, I can't concentrate on that. I can't concentrate on, you know, improving my form, or if my knee is bothering me, how am I going to adjust my stride? In other words, am I going to balance my foot more to the left, which he talks about that. in his book, as well as the videos that I posted on the blog. You can go back and view those videos. If I've got things going on, noise that is distracting me in that way, I can't do that. And I've learned, even for the longer runs, I can run without any problem as far as going forward and not having anything listening in my ear. Some people say, well, don't you get bored running that long without anything like that? Actually, I don't. I find my mind going to something, since I'm totally by myself, that I can begin to work on, or it just sort of naturally happens. And so the solitude for me is a great part of running, and the chi running is certainly conducive to that. It's almost a requirement, if you're going to be a chi runner, that you need to put the headphones aside at least until you get the form nailed down and get a sense of what it is. But I found that I would rather be in tune with my body. And the only way I can do that is if I have solitude from everyone else and solitude from anything in my ear that is going to potentially be distracting to me. Now, do I listen to other running podcasts? Yes, and I've talked about that in the show. I listen to a lot of those every week, but mainly I do it when I'm in the car, perhaps when I'm at the computer if I have a minute, or just if I'm out, Cindy and I, or if I'm out by myself for some reason and I have the iPod with me, I will be listening to some running podcasts, as well as some other things that I enjoy listening to as well. But when I run anymore, I've learned, other than the people in the community around me that are just getting up and going to work or those that are on the road, I basically want to be by myself. And that's a great thing. We live in a world where we get up, we're in a rush. We go through the day in a rush. We come home in a rush. We get home and we're thinking immediately about what we've got to do the next day. There are chores to be done whenever we get home, and it just seems like we rarely have true solitude. I don't mean we can't get by ourselves, but there's always noise or always something in the background that is distracting. Running keeps me from doing that. Or running allows me, rather, to get away from that, is what I should say. Relative to that, if you run in the evening, you're basically unwinding. Although the atmosphere typically, depending on where you live, this might not be true, but if you live in a rural area, it might not be. But if you live in an urban area like I do, in the evening, there's still going to be a lot more traffic, a lot more going on. But that's great. You can unwind from the busyness of what you've had that day. But in the morning, I find I'm not unwinding from the day before as much as I am preparing my mind for the day ahead. And whereas running in the evening or the afternoon may help you to unwind, and that's great, I certainly have no problem with that. As I said early on in this episode, I enjoy that on occasion as well. But I think I enjoy more running in the morning because it helps me as I face the day. I've already had that time, and I've probably already thought through some issues or some problems or things that I was struggling with, and I've gotten where I need to be with those. And so it just prepares me for that day, and I look forward to that. And there's nothing like coming back from a run, grabbing some Propel, walking Odie, as I often talk about whenever you listen to the show. You hear me doing that, and I enjoy that. But still, it's a long time, so to speak. And then when I get home, and of course I begin to stretch, and at that point I'll shave, and I'll take a shower to cool down and just refresh my body or whatever. By the time I get to the breakfast table, if it's a morning where I am eating breakfast at home, which is most mornings, if I can get up early enough to run, I will eat at home. By then, I've already had one of the best parts of my day has already happened, and that's getting out by myself for a run. One more comment about that I will mention. You may be wondering, well, Roland, are you one of those people then that thinks you just don't want to be with other runners? Well, I stated a moment ago about racing that's not me, but I really don't have anybody that I can run with right now. I don't have anybody I know of that gets up early to run, and at this point, I don't know that I would necessarily take advantage of that. I would like to get involved with perhaps a group that I could run on occasion. Probably it'd have to be in the evenings, but I would enjoy that as well. I really would. But right now, those morning times are special to me, and that's just who I am, and the solitude of it is just great. The biggest distraction I have is recording for the podcast on those mornings that I do record, and that's not really a distraction. Because again, I'm working through things, I'm learning about running, I'm sharing things with you, I'm reflecting on feedback that I've gotten from you even as I share it with other listeners, and I really enjoy that. And then the issue I was going to bring up, I remember years ago, George Sheehan, one of his first books, I read it three times. It isn't running and being. It was a paperback copy with his picture on the front. I just can't remember the name of it right now, but in that book, it was obvious that he was of the same frame of mind that I've been describing here. But he really wanted to be by himself. But in his case, he was withdrawing from everyone else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about time to reflect, time to gather my thoughts, time to simply be alone before I get into the busyness of the day. It's not about withdrawing. It's not about denial, anything like that. It's really not a narcissistic type of situation. But I say that because later in his books, especially toward the end of his life, he begins to reflect on the fact that he really needed people more, that he was withdrawing into his running, and it was all about him and about how he could improve and all that type of thing, and he didn't want to be distracted by other people. Well, for me, I would welcome that on occasion. He didn't want that. But as he got older and as his health began to decline, he began to realize that the times with other people, they are important. And next week, I think that's what I'm going to talk about, is just the opposite of this. It sounds weird, but not only is running great because of the solitude of it, but running is also great because of the community of it. Now, in my case, that doesn't mean running with others necessarily, unless it's in a race, but there is this thing called the virtual community, of which you're a part and I'm a part. If you weren't, you wouldn't be hearing my voice right now. That community is very real, and that connection is very real. Even though it can't replace face-to-face connection, that connection is very real. And next week, I want to talk about that. So today, I just wanted to share with you the first reason that I run, not the main one necessarily, but it is an important one, because of solitude. And next week, I'm going to pick up on the thought on the other end of the spectrum, the other side of the coin, as it were, and I want to talk about the camaraderie of it and the importance of connecting with a community, a running community, and other people. All right, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. This might be a little shorter than some, I'm not sure, but that's okay. I've had to change my strategy a little bit because of the weather this morning, but that's okay. But you can contact me by going to the blog, again, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, and you can email me from there. You can also take the survey if you would. The survey right now that we'll leave up a few more weeks is, what is your favorite time of year to run? You can also send me audio files. You can send me race reports. You can send me questions. You can listen to all the episodes of the podcast. There's a player up at the top. You can check out the listener pictures. You can check out pictures from my races in the past, upcoming races that I'll be running. I've even now put my personal bests on the website just to keep track of it, because I had to actually go back and pull out some information that I had difficulty finding and trying to figure out, okay, what was the best time I ever run for a 5K, for instance, and what is the best time as a master, which for me would be 40 and over. So I've posted those there as well. I'd love for you to email me. You can do it from the blog, or you can also just email me at 20minuterunner@gmail.com, 20minuterunner@gmail.com, and again, the link is at the blog. I'd love to have a race report along with pictures and or an audio clip, audio file from you. I'd love to post your picture. Send me a picture if you're a listener to the podcast. Let me post that on the listener pictures at the blog. Send me any questions you have. Send me any comments you have. Send me any reflections that you may have about any episodes, particularly the idea of solitude. I'd love to hear from you on that. So email me. Relative to emails, I also wanted to just comment that David Yellen had sent me an email. David, I appreciate your comments. Once again, I'm sorry you're racing, obviously, but you're not being able to do exactly what you want to do. And I just want you to know that our prayers go out for your wife and her health issues. And if we can be of encouragement in any way, that's the only reason I'm here. But David, thanks for that email. There's information at the blog about connecting on Facebook. The 20 Minute Runner is my handle. Twitter, The 20 Minute Runner there also is my handle. I'll be honest, I'm on Facebook quite a bit, but Twitter, I'm just not into Twitter as much. I don't have a mobile way to do it, and I just haven't been on it as much as I need to. But you can connect with me either one of those ways. But again, the video that we began the audio excerpt from, it's at this week's blog. episode 69. I would encourage you to go there if you want to see what it looks like as well as hear the entire thing. You can follow that link. It'll ask you to sign into your Facebook account. Then you can go to the blog, or go to the video rather, and watch that. And you might get a lot of fun out of that, but we enjoy doing it. But a couple things I'd ask you to do beyond all of that is, if you enjoy the show, and I know many, many of you do because of the comments that I get, I would encourage you to please send the link to some of your friends. Make sure that you sign up at iTunes to subscribe to it, download. Go to iTunes and give me a review, if you would. Give me some stars, give me a comment. I would appreciate that as well, very, very much. Sign up with your favorite podcatcher or feed reader, or again, you can go to iTunes. Share it with your other running buddies, and I'd love to hear from you and how your running's doing. And any information you send with me or share with me, I promise you, I will post it at the blog, and or I will include it in an upcoming episode as is appropriate. So I'd love to do that. I'd love to be able to share an email from you on an upcoming episode, and you can hear that as well. So, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. This episode's been a little bit different. Next week, we hope to be out on the road as we record. But I really appreciate you being with me today, and we will look forward to talking to you next time. Have a great week, everybody, and we will see you later. Thanks again. Bye-bye.